help. He is literally yelling for the U.S. and the U.K. to intervene about 6 or 7 times. He specifically says that. Justin, what did you think about the dead guy?
Oh, man, it was insane. You know, the fact of the matter that they put that on the... now, was that shown on the mainstream news, that part right there?
Yes. I'll have to go back and look which show, but yeah, it was either on Anderson Cooper, it was on CNN, it was on something mainstream, yep.
And not for nothing, too, we all know that Anderson Cooper has taken over pretty much. You know, obviously he's an ex-CIA agent and whatever else, too, but... you know, the fact that if it's on Anderson Cooper, like, you can almost guarantee that it's part of the PSYOP. But yeah, no, that whole thing was just ridiculous. It was very over the top. It was just, you know, the guy just kept saying, you know, intervention, this and that. And the fact of the matter is, too, the guy's, you know, half Brit, half Syrian, whatever. I don't know. To me, it was just, that was really the icing on the cake. Obviously, like, I've been saying for the longest time now that this is just a backdoor into Syria. I mean, you know, because just real quick, I mean, I know we're on media fakery, but the whole thing about it is, for once, you know, the American people last year actually stood up and said that, you know, 80% even on CNN that didn't want to go to war with Syria. So next pops this ISIS boogeyman group, and they do these fake ass beheadings, and all of a sudden, everybody's all worried about it, you know, and it's just the biggest fear campaign, and I can't believe that anyone still buys into this. And, you know, the another thing, too, is you have this group, ISIS, you know, supposed to be radical Muslims. Well, last I checked, radical Muslims are supposed to hate, like, you know, Jews or at least Zionists or whatever. And yet the Israeli, I think he's the ex-Israeli, you know, what do you call it, to Washington, what the hell are those guys called? Well, anyway, he was, you know, an ex, whatever.
Like, I can't liaison? Think of the word.
Yes, exactly, yeah. But anyway, he even said, don't worry, ISIS is not a threat to Israel. So, I mean, think about that right there. It just goes to show, like, you know. And then you have the fact that Israel supposedly downed a Syrian plane. So, I mean, you know, one of these press guys actually had a decent point. He was actually asking, you know, on one of these bullshit shows, he was saying, you know, so I don't understand. We're funding this new group here, not talking about ISIS, but talking about someone else, to go fight ISIS. Or are they fighting ISIS, or are they fighting against Assad? And then they pretty much said, yeah, well, you know, ISIS is the number one goal, but yeah, Assad has to go too. So it's pretty much like, you know, I just don't understand how people cannot see through this now. It's all about playing their emotions and fears against people. And you know what really annoys me is the ones that are like, okay, let's just say for some example that they really were going this barbaric over there. Obviously, the beheadings are fake, but let's just say, you know, the rest of it's legit. They're really shooting up people and everything. Well, the people that really think that they're coming to America and are going to do this and think that a group like that would even have a chance in America, I don't know, man. They're idiots. And I've even seen some, like, truther types falling for this, too. And I think it's just, I think it's hilarious. You know, it really is. ISIS, I'm more worried about our, you know, own cops than I'm worried about ISIS.
Yeah, you should, for good reason.
It's amazing how quickly they're able to turn people and go into Syria. You know, the Iraq conflict, it took a long time to win. They never won the public over, really. It was a very unpopular war, but nowadays...
Yeah. Good point.
Nowadays, it just takes a couple of fake videos and that's done and dusted.
Yeah, that's why this is so important, right? These fake videos, I mean, it's the heart and soul. Like, we'll get to some other ones after, too, but that's...
No, definitely. Without the fake videos of Americans, you know, people don't care that Saudi Arabia supposedly beheads 8 people, you know, just in the last 2 weeks, you know, supposed to be our ally. But yet, because 2 American journalists who probably had no business being there in the first place, one of which Foley was linked to... I forget the group, but regardless, it's a CIA front group, and it's like he's supposed to be a freelance journalist. Well, yeah. I don't know. you know, it's just
freelance journalist for the CIA. Does that even exist?
Well, he's not listed as a being in the CIA, but I forget the name of the nonprofit or group that he's supposed to work with. But it's been exposed like even years ago as being a CIA front. It's right there on his LinkedIn. It's on his LinkedIn. It's on his other resumes of this group. So I mean, it just goes to show you. You know, they're not even really hiding it. You know, everybody knows that we funded ISIS and trained them and everything else. It's just, I don't know, people. It's funny too because you see, like, the so-called left wing is sitting here cheering it on, saying, "Oh yeah, Obama's doing this and that and the other thing," and then you have the other side saying he's a coward. You know, for not having a plan or whatever. And it's just funny because, you know, here's a guy that supposedly, you know, killed more Muslims than Bush even did, you know?
Yeah.
And, he may be an imposter, a liar, and everything else, but let's just say he was really calling the shots here. He's far from a coward. I mean, yeah, obviously droning people is cowardly, but, you know, but he's killing people. That's the main point.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, and that's the whole reason we did this show, like this thing from Syria. Perfect example. 9/11's in the past now. We can't change it. We can do what we're trying to do, and, you know, trying to make people aware and be prepared for other things and have their eye out or whatever, but we can't change it. Syria is still happening, you know, maybe, not that we're going to be able to, but, you know, maybe hopefully enough people in America will see this bullshit and speak out, and I don't know how good that will do, but we got to try something. It's just, I don't know, people just stick their head in their sand. I don't know how people, whether you're into politics or not, whether you're into video games or not, warfare or not, sports or not, doing your nails at the hair salon or not, well, no matter what you're into, how are you not into being interested in looking at fake video being passed off to you as a lie? Like, how can that not interest you? I don't know. I just find it amazing. Like, I cannot stop looking at it.
Yeah, no, it just comes down to apathy. It comes down to the fact that, you know, Americans are just so used to believing anything they see on the news, and that's the last word. And it's like, you know, if you even question them, they act like, oh, well, you know, it was on the news. It's, you know what I mean? People, the fact that people still don't question the mainstream media to me is, you know, it's despicable. Like, I don't know what else to say, but, you know, here's a group ISIS, you know, admittedly funded supposedly to fight Syria, and now they're the big boogeyman enemy. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
It's crazy.
It's just like Al Qaeda. In fact, they're even calling them the new Al Qaeda. Aren't they, or what Al Qaeda were never able to be, or whatever?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the new thing too. It's funny, like that people don't even realize, you know, like they when they say, okay, we're funding this new group to fight against ISIS and everything, but it's like, how many times has this happened before? How many times have we funded a so-called, you know, they say, oh, they're moderate or whatever. Obviously, you know, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, you know, ISIS, and what was the other one? The FSA. None of those were moderate at all. You know, they're all, it's, you know, it's to overthrow the Syrian government because of the petrodollar.
Yep.
You know, the fact that they, you know, they have no interest in the American dollar anymore, and For their oil and this natural gas.
They don't want to buy oil without money, so that's a big problem for us.
Right. Well, and also too, there's a huge pipeline going in.
Yeah. Assad's supposedly opposed to it totally, so they're not having that.
Right. Right. Yeah. They want to build a pipeline from Syria into Israel.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. All right. Well, we're gonna switch gears after this and move on to the next topic, but we're going to take a break real quick. So I want to thank everybody for listening to Dose of Reality Radio. Thank you for everybody that turned out tonight. And we will be right back after this short break.
I kill you!
Okay, everybody. You can see how it's a big joke for some people. Welcome back to the Dose of Reality radio show. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. As usual, I'm joined by James Sloan from New Zealand, Justin Cook, who's also here from New England, and all our great listeners. Once again, let me thank everybody, for real, everybody that stuck by and waited so patiently for us to do another show. Thank you for everybody that showed up tonight. I really, really, really appreciate it. Real quick before we get on to the next thing, I just want to explain real quick where I've been. Is you know, the last show we did was at the end of last year, really. I think it was, you know, October, November. And basically, I just had a lot of things in my personal life that I needed to straighten out. And I just had to kind of take a break. I meant for it to be like a month. It ended up being 10 months, or maybe even a little longer. But I'm back. Everything's good now. I took a much-needed rest. Done a lot of work on the website lately. As far as cleaning it up, you know, making it less cluttered for you. I also added some new features that I'd like to let you guys know about real quick, and then we'll get right back to the information. Perfect for a time like today, too. It's a little late now, but for the next show. I added a new email alert system. You'll notice it's next to the chat. It's on the radio page and the homepage. All you do is put your name in and your email, hit enter, and then I'll have you on a list so I can send out a group email when I announce a new show, and then I'll send it once or twice more, just like maybe one time right before the show and once the day of. I won't overdo it, but we'll do the same thing for new blogs, which has been a long time, but we do plan on writing new blogs soon, but when we do, you can get an alert that way. And I also added a new comment system. You'll notice that right underneath the chat. There's a separate wall on a couple pages. There's one on the homepage for general comments about the site, and there is one on this page. So you want to leave any comments after the show for something you heard on the show or you heard on past shows or anything like that, feel free to do so. And if you want to contact us personally, we all left our contact information on the About Us page. There's a ton of options from emails to Facebook pages, YouTube, Twitter, you know, whatever I got's up there. Same thing for James and Justin, so they're not too hard to get a hold of. Guys, where do you want to go from here? I was thinking about maybe going mixing it up a little bit and start talking about some stage witnesses, maybe starting with some Sandy Hook, or you guys want to go somewhere else? What do you want to do?
We could briefly touch on those jumpers, I think. Then we could, that would be 9/11 done and dusted, I think.
Alright, yeah, why don't we wrap up 9/11 then with that last video? You want to, you think you could start, James, on the 9/11 jumper video that I have up there where they're trying to squeeze out the 3-foot windows and maybe explain to people what they're seeing and what they're not seeing?
Yeah, well, basically, the top of the page here, underneath the plane videos, we've got, on the right-hand side, we've got a video and a still frame. Of course, these aren't technically jumper images, but they're, you know, people in the window frames, which are sort of, you know, I guess classified as jumper. Or, you know, anyone in the windows is sort of classified as jumper.
What was the total number of supposed jumpers?
Well, the number varied, like every number on 9/11, but ABC News said as many as 250.
Wow.
And I think their figure was 1,300 people in that building. All the jumpers came from one building. That was the one where the first plane. There were no jumpers from the second building, which in of itself is sort of suspicious.
Yeah, no, well, everything's suspicious about that whole thing. But yeah, no, I mean, what's your favorite one? Would you say the Bruce Willis guy? I mean, you know, which one is the biggest slam dunk, you think, out of all of those? The baby one is pretty bad, too.
That one's bad. Yeah, the Bruce Willis one's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, the image we've got on the site, and I can confirm it's a real image because we saved our newspaper from September 12th of 2001 still have it, and this image was in there. So they get it out pretty quickly, but of a bunch of people standing in the window frames, and you've got almost in the center of the image, you've got a woman sort of standing there holding out of the window what really appears to be a baby, or and it's quite ridiculous because A, there'd be no reason for a child to be up there at that time of the morning, no daycare facility or anything. And B, of the people they said died, there were no babies attributed to dying, certainly not in the buildings. I think they maybe said on the plane.
And suffocating or not, I'm not holding my baby out of an 80-floor window either.
Yeah, they said, I think they said maybe a couple of kids died on the planes or whatever, but there was no, I think nobody, they said nobody under 17 was attributed to dying.
Now, what about the fact that they're trying to squeeze out the windows? Why don't we tell the listener what that the significance of that is real quick?
Well, yeah, like these images, they have like sort of three people in one window frame. It's like there just wasn't that much room. The actual window frames were actually about 9 feet tall, but the video sort of shows window frames that are about 3 feet tall. There's also the issue of how they managed to break glass, clean out of its frame like that. I guess people who believe a plane hit.
Yeah, that's tempered high duty glass at a building that tall, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. It was pretty much unbreakable. I mean, it had to be because of New York City sort of has hurricane force winds and. Or, you know, plus to prevent suicides and that sort of thing. Because at the top of the building, there was like a suicide net around the observation deck. But, you know, it's one thing to break the glass, but to break it totally clean out of its frame, I don't see how you can really do that with an office chair or, you know, like the people standing in the windows like that, they would be getting cut up by all that glass, you know. Also, well, now the people.
Well, I mean, sorry to cut you off, but especially, I mean, you know, you look at that picture right there, the one, I believe it's on the site. I'm not on the site this second, but the one where it's like with the baby in it. Look how many people are supposedly in those windows right there. Like, you know, right there is just a ridiculous amount of it. And for them to break that many windows. Like, you know, like you said, that's strong glass right there. That's not just like a, you know, a regular window. Like you said, you know, it's there to prevent suicides and prevent everything else. But they have it like everybody in the friggin' tower is hanging out of a window in that picture. And that's the thing. Some of them, I think they really went overboard with stuff like that, you know, because breaking those windows is not as easy as they make it seem.
Yeah, well, in this particular image, there's at least four frames where there's three or more people inside a single frame. And you can go on YouTube, and there's lots of videos of people at the observation decks in the indoor area, and the windows were just too narrow for that.
Right.
It's just absurd. It's obviously a stage.
There's like the air conditioning unit on the floor where you have to stand up on. It's just not an image that's really possible.
Now, when we say, we were talking earlier about we're going to do a show on fake video. Now, this is a good example of not a computer-generated video. This is a fake video as in the fact that it's staged. It's done somewhere besides the World Trade Center on some sort of set or some sort of other building. It's not what we were told to believe it was, so it definitely qualifies. And this is big, too, because this is one of the big emotional ties people have to 9/11 is
right.
The people trapped upstairs that ultimately jumped to their death, isn't it?
Well, oh, it's the only death that we saw.
Yep.
You know, excluding the plane crashes, I guess. But
no, definitely. Though I gotta say that when I wasn't awake to any of this, and you know, beforehand, to me that was the most, you know, thing that aggravated me the most, and I, you know, I'm sure everybody else thought of that. Like, what would it be like to be stuck in the, you know, 92nd floor or whatever like this with a, you know, a skyscraper burning and you're stuck in there and your only thing is either, you know, try to make it to the window or, you know, just to get away from this fire and everything. And that's the thing that really struck home with a lot of people because, like you said, it's the only deaths that we saw. You know, it added a touch of humanity to the whole PSYOP. And it's just like, you know, it's the same thing every time. It's just that was pulling, you know, their way of pulling on our heartstrings. And it worked damn well.
Yeah, and they also didn't show any of these videos this year or for years of the anniversaries. But as well, these people are not dressed in clothing that would be office attire. They're sort of dressed in casual clothing. Nobody's taken their shirt off and sort of has it, you know, around their mouth or anything.
Speaking of the clothing, we have that video. The touch is kind of on a different point on that. It's three videos below the picture of the lady holding the baby. That's the Kenny Johanneman video. I won't play it right now. We'll describe it. You guys can just play it after. It's only a minute and 21. Just play it during the next break or something. Kenny Johanneman, the story goes, is he was in the basement of the World Trade Center working. He was down there with Willie Rodriguez, the janitor, the alleged hero, last man out of the World Trade Center nonsense story. So they're in the basement, and there's an explosion, allegedly. I'll just say allegedly once now, okay? I'm not going to say it every time. This whole story is allegedly. Okay, so there's an explosion in the basement. This guy comes off the elevator. His skin's falling off, and he is so covered in blood that his clothes are red, and it looked like he was wearing a red shirt. Now, Kenny and Willie carry this guy out. That's Kenny's story. Kenny works for Aramark. He's wearing one of those white shirts. He doesn't have a drop of blood on him, and the tower in the background, half of the antenna is missing. And to know it was not hit with anything, it's some sort of, obviously, a computer effect of some sort. I think he's green screened in on this or whatever. However they did it, I'm not going to pretend to know how every technique is done just by looking at it. But it's not a real video, and it's a fake interview because he gave an interview, but yes, it is as staged as it can be. Now, didn't he supposedly die, guys? Wasn't he supposedly whacked off or something?
I think a couple of those guys, I said, committed suicide, but yeah.
Remember they faked, who was the guy where they faked the car crash? I remember looking into it. Wasn't it Kalasov? Didn't he fake his car crash? Isn't he supposed to be dead?
Yeah, I think that might be the one. There's been a few. One of the controlled demolition guys that came out as well.
Yeah, he was a guy doing the pot on Loose Change. He gave a little speech on it. Was showing it on the computer. Remember? Yeah, I remember they had the car crash. Yep, that was ridiculous. All right, so what we're gonna do, guys? Let's we're gonna move on to something else. I just want to give one last example of 9/11 video fakery because this will show you another facet of it. And this is only 20 seconds. I'm not going to play any of the long videos, but we will discuss them after and leave them for you. You guys are familiar with Judy Wood. You guys are familiar with if you look into 9/11. I shouldn't assume everybody here does, but if you look into it, it's one of those roads you get led down. Ultimately, led around in circles and led nowhere. Her theory is that a directed energy weapon took down the World Trade Center and turned it into a pile of dust. That's her theory, basically.
It's not a theory, according to her.
Oh, yeah, it's not a theory, according to her. It's fact. And you won't know this unless you buy her book. Right. That's what she called me.
You know, another thing, too, is like, is with that so-called theory, it's, you know, her followers or whatever will tell you that this weapon was used or whatever, this direct energy weapon, but we're not going to pretend to know who did it, even though, you know, obviously follow the money like anything else. I don't know. I just thought that was odd as well. But, yeah, like you said, it's all about, you know, I guess selling that book because, I don't know, a lot of people have gone the Judy Wood way too, and I think, you know, the reason for it has to be because, you know, not only the spire thing, but the fact that, which is also obviously fake video, but But you know, the whole thing behind her thing is, you know, yeah, she goes with the no planes as well, and that's where we get splintered. You know, I think that half the no planers are Judy Wood, and the rest, you know, another half are media fakery types, whether one way or the other. Then you have the Fetzer, who combines a few of them, you know, mini nukes with not Judy Wood, but something like that, and no planes and whatever else. I don't know. It's just so many different camps out there. Yeah, sorry to digress, but go ahead.
Yeah, he changes it every few months. So the thing with her, though, this is going to make a few good points, because we were telling you guys earlier how the fake video basically shapes these different camps, and it keeps people divided and whatnot. This one video right here, so if you're wondering why they would leave, you know, evidence of video fakery, this is a perfect example, because people that believe in the hoax, not believe in the hoax, but people that believe in 9/11 happened how we were told, they're going to watch something like this, and they're going to think nothing of it. They're going to think it's another part of 9/11, another part of the World Trade Center being blown up or whatever. This backs up so many theories, though, because they show this steel spire being turned to dust in seconds, okay, which is impossible. But not
not to interrupt you, but dustification.
Dustification. Made up word, continue. Not only does this back her theory, and so people run with this as evidence, but people who think that basically the whole main story too, because if people that think that the steel can melt and all this, they see something like this, that's going to reaffirm their beliefs. That's going to reaffirm their beliefs that steel's not really that strong. Now, this video is a fake video. This video is put out there for people to believe in her directed energy thing. And we're going to play it right now, and then we're going to wrap up the 9/11.
Real quick, I wanted to just say something, though, before you get into the video, though. You know, like you were saying, you know, it's definitely a fake, but I think we should add the disclaimer that they definitely did blow up the buildings. We're not saying they didn't, but there was no need to go all out with a direct energy weapon when you could have just used, controlled demolition. And to anybody in New York, you know, even if anyone did get a glimpse of it, they're not going to know the difference. You know, all they saw was they saw towers falling, you know, regardless. If anyone was close enough to see it, they would see towers, you know, falling and smoke and everything else. So it's not – it's another example of just the video selling it. You know, it's pretty much my point.
Yeah, even if they saw it differently, Justin. Like, it's like, okay, so you have these people in New York that didn't see the plane, but they were really in New York, but they lie and say they saw the plane because they want to be part of the story. We know how that goes, right?
Well, yeah. Well, the main thing about that, I think, is it's a history, you know, a big event in history. And if you were there or anywhere near there, you know, you're going to say, oh, yeah, I saw the plane hit. Or,
well, that's what I'm saying about the collapses. The same thing applies to the collapse footage. If you put the collapse footage on TV and say the buildings really did collapse, but we didn't see the real footage, let's say the footage we saw wasn't real. So let's just say, I'm not 100% sure, but let's say the footage we saw wasn't real and they show this collapse from the top down rather than the bottom up. The people that are there, if they see a bottom-up collapse, they're not going to differentiate that to people and tell people what they saw on the news isn't what really happened. They're going to go along with it. Sure. You know what I mean? That's a small detail to people like that. They're just going to go along with that.
Right.
So, all right, we're going to play that video right now, and then we're going to take a quick break. And we come back, we'll either touch on Sandy Hook or the moon. We'll figure it out. So you're listening to Dose of Reality Radio. Oh, actually, I should tell you where the video is, huh? It is in the left column. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down. It says WTC Steel Spire. Just play that. It's 20 seconds. I'll come back with a quick commentary right after that. I'm playing it now.
Good Lord. There are no words. You can see large pieces of the building falling. You can see the smoke rising. You can see a portion of the side of the building now just being covered on the right side, as I look at it, covered in smoke.
Sorry, I was muted. Amateur mistake there. I see the Judy Wood people posting this all over the place, besides just her book, don't you guys? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, sorry, I was muted. What were you just saying, Brian?
I was saying the Judy Wood people post this all over the internet almost as much as they post her book. There's this steel spire, like it's real evidence. It's a fake video. Definitely.
Yeah, well, that's their biggest point of contention right there. Out of everything, that's their, you know, their smoking gun, you know, pretty much. Because, you know, here's the thing. When it comes to the Wood supporters, you know, when it comes to some of the other, you know, the toasted cars, you know, that's very subjective, you know, like anybody can, you know what I mean? Can, you know, a lot of people aren't really going to say, you know, I buy into that 100% or whatever. And just like the, you know, the hurricane thing too. And, you know, and I gotta admit, I bought into it for a while, or I thought it was a very good possibility. Until I realized how much of the footage was fake, you know, and that's the main thing. Then once I watched it and said, you know, this doesn't look real to me. I don't know. I can't, you know, jump on this bandwagon the way it is, you know. But I don't know. It makes you wonder. I don't know if she's total controlled opposition, or if she really believes it herself, because it's possible she may believe it herself. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but the way when I've had encounters with her, the way she acted wasn't just arrogance. It seemed like there was definitely a clear agenda to me, or else I wouldn't know what you're saying. But just from the way that she acted, you know, I can't trust her, you know.
Oh no, I don't trust her at all either. I'm just saying though, as far as I'm just wondering. Is it, you know, a show for the government or someone that's just trying to sell books?
Yeah, and I don't have a problem. I mean, to some point, yeah, I do, but I don't really have that much of a problem with her selling her book. But the fact that you can't discuss evidence with her without her replying, mm-hmm. Well, you need to see my book, or you haven't read my book, so you don't know. That's just not the right attitude to have.
Not only that, too, but the fact of coming off holier than thou and saying, you know, it's not a theory. Last I looked, even if you go the scientific method, you know, which has been totally, science has been corrupted, but scientific method, you have a theory and then you have to prove the theory. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
to say it's not a theory, you know, you could say, yeah, I have a theory with a lot of facts to back it. And okay, fine. But to come off and say it's not a theory, to me, that's just, you know,
if we don't have an admission of guilt in DNA evidence, I think it's pretty much a theory.
Yeah, anything. Exactly.
And you know, as most of our listeners know, but if anybody's new, you know, she personally attacked me and said I was running a psyop on America for calling her Judy, and only 10-year-olds call themselves by their first names. And really. You're that upset that you didn't get called doctor? She just wants to be put up on this pedestal, and they talk about decredentializing people. That's what they're trying to do to everybody else. I'm trying to just have a friendly conversation, and we're all on the same playing field here. Let's have a conversation. Hi, Justin. I don't call you Mr. Cook. You would think it was weird if I called you Mr. Cook.
I don't know. I think I'd like to change that. I think I'd like to be addressed as Mr. Cook from now on, if you guys don't mind.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Cook.
That's all right, Mr. Stavely. See that? You know, we both give respect. And, hey, you know what? Call me Dr. Cook from now on.
Dr. Cook. I like it. Hey, Dr. James, yeah. Are you there, bud?
James is running a psyop on America.
We're gonna take a quick break. I was gonna see if he wanted to add anything on the 9/11 before, but we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about Sandy Hook, another huge hoax during our time. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm joined by Justin Cook and James Sloan. You're listening to us on therealnewsonline.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Dose of Reality radio show. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm joined by James Cook. James Cook. Sorry, Justin. I'm joined by Justin Cook and my other host, James Sloan. And James Sloan had to skate out of here a little bit early tonight, guys. He had to get back to work. So he might be back on before the end of the show. He might not be. Justin, James had to take off. I was just letting the audience know.
Okay.
James had to get back to work.
Life as a doctor, you know.
Yeah.
You can expect that. You must have got a house call or something. Work with Dr. Wood. Hello.
Oh, sorry. I don't know how this thing went up back on mute. Yeah, so Dr. James had to go back on back to work. So we're going to switch gears a little bit here, and we're going to move to another huge hoax. Possibly, you know, the second biggest hoax of my time. You know, it's up there. It's got to be in the top five. Sandy Hook. Justin.
Oh, of course.
Close to your hometown.
Yeah, definitely. I'm in propaganda central when it comes to that issue. As far as, like, you know, all the local newspapers and everything, they fed it to us nonstop. And it's, you know, it sucks because it's, you know, it's so close to home, but it's like, you know, it's just total, you know, total silliness when you have not only Dr. Carver coming through, sorry, clearing my voice. The pathologist, whatever the hell he does. The funeral guy, coroner. Thank you. Sorry,
He was all over the place. That guy.
Yeah, the one statement he made though that really like makes people have to wonder is, I hope this doesn't all come crashing down on the heads of on the Newtown residents. Like, it's like, what? You know, just insane. You know, I don't know. Like I said, around here, it's like sacrilegious to even mention, you know, anything like that. So it's kind of tough living around here with that whole thing going on. But
oh, I feel you. Same thing over here about the marathon, which we'll get in after Sandy Hook, you know. But yeah, I know how you feel. Nah. So how much would you say they still continue to push it? Is it a lot? Like, was the anniversary a huge deal of it this year?
Well, it's not until December, but yeah, every December that's all you hear on, you know, on everything, and in the newspaper will run some type of feel good story or, you know, or some type of scaremonger thing. You know, what's crazy about it though is actually this came up earlier in the Sandy Hook group that Tony Mead and them run. You know, Sandy Hook Hoax, I believe it's called.
Yeah, excellent group, by the way.
Yeah, totally. You know, these guys have exposed all types of stuff. But, you know, the interesting thing is when this happened, of course, our regular listeners will remember that I said that it wasn't just about gun control. You know, that the fact that they're now, you know, the mental health aspect of it, I think, is the biggest part. And the other part is them demonizing, you know, autistic people or, you know, anything like that where, you know, because here's the main thing, really, is that at any point somebody can call, you know, can call the cops on you and say, hey, this guy isn't right, you know, or whatever else. And it's a very easy way for them to lock you up.
They'll section you real fast.
Oh, totally. Totally. You know, and there's been a few people. There's a teacher that lost his job. You know, other people that have been committed. He was committed as well. You know, so I mean, it's really it's something like this. Like I've never seen anything, you know, besides 9/11, where, you know, and the thing is, there's many agendas too. There's so many different things, but
yes,
I think the gun angle was more of a red herring than anything, because you know, if you think about it, it made the gun companies a lot of money, because just like every time when there's one of these, you know, mass shootings or whatever. You know, who makes out? The gun companies and ammo companies who raise their prices.
Aren't they,
you know,
based right there? Isn't was it Smith & Wesson? Aren't one of the companies based right there?
No, no. What you're thinking of is I mean, there used to be a ton of gun manufacturers in Connecticut, but what you're thinking of is the second biggest gun lobby next to the NRA is located in Newtown. You know, so it's like
wow.
Right there, obviously, you know, they benefited as well. And, you know, we know that the NRA and most of those other groups are, you know, controlled opposition. I mean, they're actually and it's funny because there's a lot of people out there that they don't understand that a lot of gun owners, you know, think the NRA sucks anyway, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. It's another thing, but I think that the gun angle was definitely a red herring to a point, because, you know, yes, there is, you know, stricter guidelines upon, you know, different types of guns and everything, and, you know, and like it definitely was a reason for it, but I think the mental health thing is the biggest angle there, and the biggest angle there. And I think, you know, it's going to get more tyrannical. And the thing is, too, is they're also demonizing, like I said, autistic and anyone that homeschools. I think it was Jackie Trutown that mentioned, you know, wrote a letter to Tony Reid, and she was talking about it. And it's just insane. Again, you know, I hate to keep using the word insane, but how much control that they want over the over people's families. You know, the fact that you know, if you have a kid nowadays, you know, you really have no control anymore. You know, it's a sad thing.
You know what makes me mad, and one of the agendas, like you talked about, you know, is the gun control. And like you said, there's a lot of agendas. That's, you know, probably the most prevalent one, or the one that people know about the most.
Sure.
I have a lot of friends.
No, it definitely is there. It's definitely there to demonize gun owners and everything. But I just think there's other agendas at play. There's always like a, you know, multi-pronged.
Yeah, of course. And with that agenda, though, I have like, you know, I have a few friends that have their license to carry or whatever, okay? Now, listen to this. So these guys are the type of guys that never listen to anything I have to say. They don't really think I'm nuts because they know me well, but they think the things I'm saying are nuts, okay? So they won't look at anything, blah, 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 blah. But when they hear about gun control getting tighter, or they think Obama, even though we know Obama is just a puppet, when they think Obama wants to take their guns or whatever, they post all this shit all over Facebook, yada, 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 the government does this, the government that. But if I ever tried to show them something that is the direct reason of why they want to take your guns, one of the direct agendas, one of the things that they push through one of these hoaxes, like Sandy Hook, they will not even entertain the idea and look at it. And I'm like, dude, this is exactly what you're interested in. Like, this is why they're going to try and take your guns. Like, how can you not want to look at this? And they won't. They'll just sit there running their yaps about politics and their guns. And it's just like, oh, I just want to choke myself out.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, the crazy thing is, just like every other issue in the country, is it's like, you know, both sides are just listening to what they're told 100%. They refuse to look up anything on their own. Unless it fits in their confirmation bias. But, you know, at this point, I don't know who I can't stand more out of the so-called, you know, Tea Party right-wing types or the idiot liberals, because, you know, it's you know, two peas in a pod, and you know, neither one of them has ever had an original idea.
No.
And, you know, and as far as, like, you know, one side is completely, you know, all, where it's like, you know, they're so anti-gun that it's, you know, that it's ridiculous. And the other side is just like, you know, they also make themselves look bad too with you know, with the way they come about and the way they buy up every little story about, you know, Obama or, you know, stuff like that, when it's like, you know, you should know he's just a puppet, you know, by this stage in the game. I mean, and obviously they put in a half black president to, you know, and hit all of his records and everything. You know, it's all just a big shell game, and very little of it has any merit to it at all. Like, I just look at it like, you know, it's just to keep us polarized.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. But, and, you know, besides their agenda, the whole Sandy Hook thing, if there was ever an event that was insulting to my intelligence since I so-called woke up, or whatever you want to call it, it's got to be Sandy Hook. I mean, the way the actors were so blatantly terrible, like, it was just so obvious, and we're going to get to that in a second. You have, so the story goes, you have, I don't remember how many kids, but it was in the teens or whatever. You had all these kids gunned down in the school in Connecticut. Now, this isn't your grandfather dying from a life, 20, what is it?
20 kids. 20
okay,
kids.
This isn't your grandfather dying from a lifelong illness. This isn't your sister getting in a tragic car accident. This is worse than all of it. This is your child getting gunned down and murdered when they're 6, 7 years old or whatever. Murdered. And then every single parent that they interviewed, at least all the ones I saw, and I saw a lot of them, as did a lot of you people, they are all on camera laughing or joking or smiling. And yes, I understand sometimes when people grieve, they do smile. They might throw a joke in there to try and lighten the mood. But these people are just straight up jovial the whole time. And we're talking about people that had their little girl gunned down in front of, not in front of them, but gunned down just the day before. Murdered, okay? And then you have all this other chicanery, which we're going to touch on because it's not really part of what we're talking about tonight, but we have to because we're on it now. But you have all this other chicanery going on with memorial funds being set up ahead of time and Facebook pages being updated ahead of time and all this chicanery going on. And then what we're going to get to now is the most, out of every interview maybe we've ever watched, this one might be the most obvious that this guy is a bold-faced liar. This guy, Robbie Parker, who allegedly just his girl gunned down, I believe it was 48 hours before this tape. It was same week. What's that?
Not even. It was the day after.
Yeah, it was the day after.
So say this happened around 9, 10 in the morning or whatever. This was the next night at 5 p.m. or so. So we're looking at, you know, not even a day and a half.
Yep, and he is not just a little joking around or whatever. This guy is laughing with a huge laugh on his face. Somebody had a camera rolling that wasn't the regular media camera, so I don't think he thought it was on or whatever. It was probably somebody's handheld or whatever. And before he took the podium, he's laughing. You can see him literally take a deep breath to gain his composure. Then he grabs the mic and tells us, "Hi, I'm Robbie Parker," as if to convince him and to convince ourselves. And it's just awful. I'm going to play that because it's only 27 seconds. And then I'm not going to go and play all the other parents, but I will give you an example or two and show you where to find some of them. And you will notice amongst all of them, they are all laughing like it's a friggin' joke. Okay, so where to find the Robbie Parker CD, video? Real easy. Go in the right video column. First, you'll see all the 9/11 stuff. Then a couple interviews. And then you'll see Robbie Parker right underneath red lettering that says terrible acting. That's in the right column about halfway down with the red lettering, terrible acting. That's Robbie Parker. It says Sandy Hook shooting exposed as a fraud. I'm going to play that now over the air, but you really should watch it too because you have to see this guy's facial expressions. This is not somebody that just lost their daughter. And people talk about this like it personally affects their lives and they're so sad about blah, blah, blah. And this guy, he makes me so mad. I'm going to play it now. Here we go.
Robbie Parker, I assume he's going to come back to the microphones now.
He's laughing right
and
now.
Make a statement. Looks like the family is there and they're getting ready to make to come to the microphone, so we'll listen in.
Laughing. Big smile. Okay. Big smile. Catch his breath. Hear it? Twist.
My name's Robbie Parker.
Sure it is. Mm-hmm. What about that?
I mean, it probably is his name, but regardless of the fact, you know, and here's a guy that's moved, what, 8 times in the last 11 years. If that doesn't scream, you know, CIA type, you know, whatever, especially just moving to affluent areas like, you know, from Connecticut back to, you know, Colorado or wherever the hell else he is. But, yeah, Nick, yeah, continue with that. I just wanted to...
Well, actually, I'm going to have you jump in now, and if you like, and I'm going to play the Anderson Cooper green screen one. Why don't you just tell people what that is real quick?
Well, I mean, the main thing about that is you know, it looked phony from the start, but, you know, when you see the his nose picture... you know, that his nose disappears for a second.
Yeah, obviously he's not there.
It's obvious that that was a green screen, and you know, it's so funny because he's pretending to be, you know, live from Sandy Hook and everything. He's probably in the studio, or you know, the guy could have been in his living room. You know, it doesn't matter where he was because you know it's phony.
He's lying.
You know,
wherever he was, he's lying.
Exactly.
They lie about everything. That if there is one point I could make to you people after 5 years of researching, after 10 years or 15 years that Justin's been doing it or whatever, I think we would both agree that one of the biggest points you could get across to people is do not trust the media. The media is lying. Do your own research. That's roll it all up in one. That's the main point for anything, for any event, you know? Not even that the videos are fake or that the witnesses are fake, because all different facets apply to different events, but just remember, the media has no obligation to tell you the truth. They're not there to tell you the truth. They're there to back up the government and the military and the corporations. They don't give a shit about you.
Right.
Sorry, it gets me mad.
No, but I hear you, buddy.
The Anderson Cooper one, guys, is a visual thing, so I'm not going to play it over the air, but if you look just to the left of what we just watched, slightly up, diagonally left, you'll see it. It says disappearing nose right on the video. You'll see it. What it is for those that aren't familiar with green screen, I assume most of you are. It's very old technology now. Movies use it all the time. You basically put a movie on in the background, and you stand a person in front of the screen, and it makes it look like they're in the scene.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, even the simplest way I think to describe it is, you know, when you see your weatherman on TV and they're standing in front of, you know, a screen, and all of a sudden, you know, there's a picture of, you know, a map behind it, but you know they can't even see the map. That's why they're pointing in the general direction of it. But you know, that's probably the oldest use of green screen
that
we know of.
That's a good example.
What's that?
That's a very good example. So, anyways, guys, underneath that, which we're not going to play because it's 14 minutes this next video, but underneath that to the right, you can see it's a Sandy Hook, it's a video of a bunch of the parents, okay? And time and time and time and time again, what are they doing? They're all laughing. Now, if I saw it, say, out of 15 sets of parents, I saw it on two of them, well, three of them, they could write that off. Maybe that's how they grieve. Maybe you brought up a good moment about their kid, and that's what they do. But in every case, the day after they were murdered, not like God bless her. My stepsister just passed away from an illness she was battling for 15 years. But when she went, as sad as it was, at least we knew it was coming. She wasn't gunned down. These people had their family member gunned down in school where you think they're safe. And now they're on TV laughing about it within a day or two. All the interviews, too, that I gathered from there within, like, the first 48, 72 hours. I mean, it's just awful. No, Justin, yeah, I know you're closer,
even,
so.
Even within 2 weeks or so, you know what I mean? Like, you know, even now it's just, like, it's just insane that they even can smile now. You know, I've heard of people losing their kids and – and, you know, they're especially like that, like you said, murdered. And, you know, we're talking, you know, 6 months, a year later that they'll still cry just thinking of the kid, you know. Never mind 24 hours.
Which,
you know,
of course you would. I would if it was my kid, too. You know, of course. Mm-hmm. And these people do not, you know, not that I know, but I get a good grasp that these people are not real grieving parents. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just not real. I'm sorry.
I do believe that somebody did a professional, you know, a psychiatrist or grief specialist or something like that, or some, you know, someone that knows, you know, like the faces that people would make and everything, you know, and I don't know
like
how
legit
it is, but I do believe, what's that?
Like somebody to coach them through this process type of thing?
No. What I'm saying is somebody did an analysis on all of these people.
Oh, somebody that's a professional at that did an analysis?
Right, and said that, you know, that most of them do not fit into, you know, what grief would look like, you know, and it's and even they say, yeah, you know, people get wacky and people, you know, get whatever, but just by looking at their, you know, facial expressions and, you know, the way they talk, and never mind the fact that, you know, they were already forgiving and they're already just talking about, you know, the gun thing right after, and, you know, and mental health and all this stuff. And it's just like, you know, at that point, that's the main thing on your mind is going, you know, before you even know the whole story, you know, it's
pathetic.
It is. The funny thing is that, I mean, the day that it happened, I remember sitting here watching on the television, and right away I saw just the way people were moving about and everything, and I said, you know, this has got to be phony. Then when I heard the numbers, I mean, we're talking, this happened at what, 9:55 in the morning or 9:35 in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking already by noon, them having exact numbers for how many killed and wounded, and, you know, you would think that it would take a lot longer than that for them to know, you know, exact numbers.
Buddy, speaking of that exact thing you just spoke of about, you know, from noon they know the numbers, blah, blah, blah. Emily Paca, the daughter of Robbie Paca, the video we just watched, obviously you know who we're talking about, but the daughter of the guy that's laughing, and I put his picture up on the banner of the website. Look at the big smile on his face.
Yeah.
So, his daughter, they started this is great. They started on Facebook they posted it on Facebook, a memorial fund for Emily Paca. But the memorial page, right, was actually dated before the event. But people will point out to you, if they know their shit, that if you take a Facebook page for an event, you don't delete it, but you change the page title, you can have a backdated page like that. But
if
I did my homework and dug past that, and you can go back and still see through one of the Google tools when the website was originally published, and that website and the domain name for it was originally published right before Sandy Hook, and the name that it was originally associated with was for the Emily Paca Fund. And then not only did they post that on her Facebook page, on her page they were posting contradictory statements, and I have screen grabs before they erased them, because they did erase them, but I'll show you guys. I screen grabbed it all. They were like, Emily is there's a shooting at the school. We don't know if Emily is safe or blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It says, and then three sentences later, it says, we do know that little Emily was a victim. And this was at like 10:30, 11. It's like, what? You thought you didn't know. Now in the same sentence, you know she was a victim, and this page was set up earlier. Victoria Soto. Sorry, I'll just finish real quick. Victoria Soto was a teacher. Same thing. Memorial page set up ahead of time. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say is, you know, the thing is, if that's somebody, you know, because it was supposedly a friend of the family. Now let's just say I'm friends with somebody, and you know, I'm lifelong friends with somebody, and I'm in here. They're telling me every, you know, little scoop that they get. Let's just say that they have somebody like that they're that tight with. Well, you still don't know at that time period. You shouldn't know that it was definitely your daughter, or that your daughter isn't wounded or something like that. For them to come right out and act like, you know, we know she's already dead, like, wow, talk about having no faith in anything, you know. You know, just going by, okay, she's dead, let's get some money, you know. And that's the thing with almost every one of these families, and the biggest thing, the donations are insane. Like, not for nothing, how much money do you need? Like, you know, I'm sure they have life insurance for one, and for two, like, what the hell is this money going towards? You know, I mean, it's just insane that so many people have donated money. They're still asking for money. You know, when is enough enough? How much money do you need? You need to be a multimillionaire, because your kid died, and we're talking not just, I don't know. It's to me, that's the crazy thing, is how much money has been raised since then. Like, it's despicable, you know. Shit, if I lost my kid, I don't think that I would be, you know, out soliciting for donations, unless, you know, I didn't have enough money to bury them or something like that, you know. Yeah, put up a scholarship in their name or something like that too, but I don't know, you know, just the fact of them begging for money and you know, it's just another log on the fire, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know, I'm just
another
perplexed.
Slap in the face to people like us, you know.
Oh, totally. Well, it's, you know, it's a slap in the face to people that even that donate, you know. It's,
oh, yeah,
it's
it like... is. They just don't know they're getting slapped in the face.
Oh, of course not.
So, another video I want to touch on real quick on Sandy Hook before we move on is a video that was scrubbed, not completely off the internet or off YouTube. We talked about it last night. A video that was scrubbed off his archive, and that's Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz had on one of the children that was in the school at the time that this supposedly went down. And the kid is giving an interview, and during his interview, he talks about how they were diving under the desk and it was a drill and it, rather than a shooting. And that coincides with a lot of the other evidence. And when you look at some of the images, which I put up on the site, of them walking out of the school like in a single file line like it's a drill, nobody even looks scared. I mean, they're little kids. They should be terrified of hearing gunshots. And Justin, you commented on he said he heard, what, trash cans or something? Door being kicked. What did he say he heard?
What do you mean?
The Sandy Hook kid, when he was getting interviewed, he said the bullet sounded like something else.
Oh, yeah. He said it sounded like, yeah, something like that. So something that had to, you know, didn't sound like gunfire or anything that loud. It's, like you said, you know, I don't want to get the quote wrong, but he said something like that. Like it sounded like the janitor would drop in the trash. I don't know, something silly. You're right about that. I don't remember the exact quote. You have the video right there, but
yeah. I just didn't want to play the whole thing. But anyways, this seems to be one of their favorites now. These school shootings for the last 15 years, or so, you know, ever since Columbine or whatever, they've had so. I mean, it seems every day a school's getting locked down. I get the little alerts on my phone locally, like high schools and stuff. It turns out to be nothing, but there's I shouldn't say daily, but really every couple weeks there's a school around here that gets locked down for one reason or another.
Oh, definitely.
That's just such a scary thing. Imagine being in school, not knowing any of the stuff we know, so you think the news is legit. You think the terrorists are out to get you, and then all of a sudden your school gets locked down over a threat. Those fucking poor kids are, those poor kids are so scared right now for nothing.
Oh, definitely.
For nothing. Nothing. And now the new thing is the ISIS, you know, which we already touched on. But it's just like Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, another crazy video that came out about Sandy Hook, or, you know, from the event, too, was there is a another kid victim, and they gave the same pretty much story to every news outlet. I should have grabbed you this last night because I didn't think about it till after. But
but they changed the name of the victim in each one, right?
No, not that. This person had the same name and everything else. But what it was is the mother and the father were standing around the kid, and it was like they had like little signals. The mother had her hands like on the kid's shoulders while she was talking, and every single one of the videos. And she would start playing with her hair and that.
Oh, you could read her signs like a baseball coach.
Yes, exactly. And she tugged on her shirt, and that awesome. Meant to say this or that. The other thing, I've got to find. Next break, I'll try to find that video because it really is. It's almost when the father does it. He put her hand like around her, like her throat, like around her neck. And it's almost like the mother almost got like, hey, like creepy. Like they were both doing it. It definitely was a setup event, and somebody broke it down even. And I was like, wow, dude. What, you know, when I saw that, I said, Jesus Christ. Now, and you're just what made me think of that too was you were saying how scared these kids must be. Well, could you imagine that? You know, like you know, your parents are obviously in it trying to, you know, get money. Obviously, if they're on everything from Good Morning America to Nancy Grace to, you know, this show and that show, and this kid keeps saying the same story over and over again about, yeah, when we heard the gunshots, this, that, and the other thing, and we heard, you know, it was one of the most, it's very disturbing to see parents making a kid lie like that.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. That's really disturbing.
One of the most, unethical things that I've seen throughout the whole thing was like, you know, and this was just a supposed witness. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't anyone like a victim or anything, but just the way that this little girl was lying, and she looked like she didn't want to, you know, and that's why the mother was like, you know, had these little codes with her.
That's terrible. Poor kid, huh?
Oh yeah, man. I would not want to live in that town right now. I couldn't imagine that. You know. And they're guinea pigs for a whole bunch of shit too. Like, you know, there's all types of questionnaires that they have to sign up. And you know, I hate to say it, but the whole state of Connecticut now is like, you know, and it is, and I'm sure obviously your state is probably pretty much the same. You know, same with New York, all of these little, you know, nanny states here. But you know, that's, I don't know. It's too much though. It's getting to the point where, you know, like I said, if I had a kid, there's no way that I would, you know, a young kid, there's no way that I would have them in public school in this day and age.
No way. The homeschooling takes a lot of time, though, you know, but I wouldn't want them in public school either. Luckily, now that I've known this stuff, my kid's older now. He's 17, you know, he's a senior.
Yeah, no, you know, obviously, well, here's the thing with me. It's like, I would have no problem, you know, having my kid, if I had a kid, like, you know, in high school age or something like that. But the thing is, though, is when they're young like that and they're vulnerable and they're already doing, you know, live shooting drills. You're talking about kids, like, you know, is there really a reason to make these kids that scared about live shooting drills? I think fire drills are enough. And then you have these, you know, kids worried about this and doing this. And what is the chance that it's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, even... I don't know. It's just insane that you would put a 6-year-old kid through that, you know, and tell him, you know, that you have to be quiet and wait, you know, and wait in the classroom or, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's another thing. It's creepy. The whole thing is fucking creepy. One more thing I wanted to touch on. I don't know if you, I think you do a video, but the whole Gene Rosen thing.
I have it. Yeah.
You know, there's another one too, and I mean, here's a guy that his video got leaked of him pretty much, reciting the thing beforehand. You know what I mean? Like, or practicing what he was gonna say, and it's just, I don't know, another creepy aspect. This is what, you know what? Here's the thing: 9/11 was the worst, but this was by far the most creepy.
Oh, you know? Yeah, dude, I think in like, you know, 10 years or so, people will finally look at this and laugh. Not laugh, but they'll know that it was a total hoax. But you know how it is with things that are fresh in people's minds. They really, really won't look at it, you know?
Right.
This one's really so over the top and so absurd. How about, you know, not to get off the media fakery too much, but how about how they wouldn't let any ambulances up there? They had to park at a fire station up the street. Mm. I mean, no, how effective would that ever be? Give me a break.
Definitely, and check this out. Eric Pearson, who was somebody from the Sandy Hook hoax website, your page, you know, on yep. Facebook too as well. He actually did a couple of interviews with EMTs, and they said that they were. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I heard a click. I wasn't sure, and supposedly did it. A interview with an EMT, I believe, from Danbury or somewhere around the area, and they said how they only know one EMT at all that even went inside the school. Now, this guy was in an ambulance with his partner. They came, they rushed there, showed up there, and they were told to sit at the firehouse, and they never even got a chance to go down there. And
those guys are the type of guys in the business where they know everybody, so they would know, like, other guys, you know what I mean? For them not to know anybody else is absurd, because they know... No. Even the guys at the other companies, probably a lot of them.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, no. It's like now it's out there that only one EMT even went in there. Like it's not even it's something that they're trying to pretend. Like, oh no, there was 10 guys. They didn't even let them in there. You know, that's the bottom of the line is you know is that you had cops pronouncing kids dead, and that goes against Connecticut protocol. It goes against, you know, pretty much any state's protocol. You need the only circumstances where a cop can do that is if a kid is like, if their head is missing, you know. If not, then by all means you're gonna rush them to the hospital, because there is a very good chance that, you know, hey, let's say out of 20 of them, that two or three could have at least survived, you know. Let's just say, for example, there was one or two that supposedly got shot three times. Well, you know, three times isn't enough to be 100%. You know what I mean? To just say that kid's dead, we don't need to even get him checked up on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's you know, it's there's so much hypocrisy in it, but that to me is one of the you know, one of the biggest examples of it.
Yeah, that event. I mean, we could spend we have. I was gonna say we could spend a whole show on it, but of course we already have done that. But yeah, that show had that show. It is a show. That show had a ton of media fakery, an absolute ton. And the other thing that we wanted to focus on today, like I said, was fake witnesses and fake family members, or staged. When I say fake, I mean people acting a role. And that event was as bad as 9/11 as far as actors. I mean, it was bad. They threw those parents in our face, and not a single one was the least bit convincing. What do you say?
Oh, yeah, no, totally. It's, and you know what, too, the fact of the matter is that so many of their stories didn't even jive with each other, you know? And the fact that you supposedly had the nurse and I believe a psychologist or somebody from the office or whatever, that hid in a closet for 4 hours, you know, after the school was swept by a SWAT, yeah, and everything else. You know, and that's the thing. And then you have Rosen, too, which, you know, lived across the street from the firehouse. And the fact that this so-called bus driver went and dropped off, you know, six kids or whatever at his house. And they said, our teacher is dead. But, like,
why would they do that?
Exactly. Why would a teacher... you know, let's just say these kids were able to run outside and get away. Okay, you know, why would the bus driver leave them? Why would a bus driver pick them up to begin with? But secondly, why would a bus driver leave them at some creepy old exactly. guy's house that lives at the corner when the firehouse is right there?
Yeah, you can leave them at the firehouse where it's a lot safer probably and more credible with who you leave them with.
Right.
Nobody's going to blame you for leaving them with the firefighters.
Right, and not only that too, but there had to be a million cops getting there by now. You know, it's not for this guy to take him in and read to him or whatever the hell he says he did. It's an insult to your intelligence. I always thought they were gonna scrap that too. Like I didn't think they were gonna go that far with it because, you know, but there's people out there calling this guy a hero and everything. But it's like I didn't think that would pass the smell test for most Americans. I didn't think that they were, you know, that dumb, you know what I mean? I don't know, as far as that guy, because, I mean, he's so over the top and so emotional, too, and, like, you could tell he's like, fake crying, and you know, and every time, it's kind of like Willie, where it's like, you know what it is? Yeah, he's the Willie Rodriguez of this case, for the most part, you know, where it's like, you know, he's so full of shit, but and every time he embellishes it a little bit more and a little bit more.
He starts to buy his own bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy, right?
Brian, do me a favor. Put the link to the chat in the Skype box. Just so, because if I type it in, it'll take me a lot longer to do so. If you can do that,
please. Yeah, I'll do that. Hold on. Yeah, so we'll touch on. I want to touch on one more thing on the Sandy Hook, and then we're gonna take a quick break.
Sure.
Here's that link for you. All right, yeah, anybody else that might be having a slow computer or whatever, if you have trouble accessing, you know, this page with all the videos and you just want to use it to chat, here's a direct link to just the chat box. It's the same box that's on this page that you're listening from, our radio page here, but some people, in case of Justin, like if you have a slow computer, you need to use that. There's the link for the chat direct. Back to Sandy Hook. So like I was saying, it's probably, you know, it's right up there with 9/11 as probably the two best examples of fake witnesses, fake witnesses so much, but fake parents in this one, fake witnesses in the other, but maybe they're real parents, but the role that they play, grieving parents, they're not really grieving parents, and Robbie Parker just highlights the whole thing. Back to where the videos are, in the right column, Robbie Parker was about halfway down there. And underneath him, we're not going to watch it now, but I put a video there for you called The Happy Sandy Hook Actors. It's exactly what it sounds like. And underneath that is an interview with Gene Rosen. It's a four-minute interview with Gene Rosen, the gentleman that Justin just talked about, the guy who had the students dropped off at his house, supposedly, by the bus driver. So his interview is right there. He's got some pretty wacky interviews.
Let me just say something real quick. Did you see the one he did in Spanish?
No. Why? What happened?
No, it's just funny because, you know, he just was that much of an attention whore that he was, you know, going on any show possible, I believe. And I believe he did one in Spanish. It's pretty funny, you know. And I mean, the thing about him, too, is he was, that, you know, maybe not even, maybe he wasn't like a real legit actor, but he definitely was in the IMDb database as being at least a wannabe actor, you know, so.
Really?
Yeah, well, you know what, too? I would say out of it, there's a YouTube video by, trying to think, there's so many great researchers on this. There's like, you know, Names Not Mary, and there's,
yeah,
you know, you know, Red Pill Revolution. I don't know, there's so many different people that come up with so many different things. But, you know, what was I just saying before I got into the people, the... What was my point? I'm sorry. I just got confused with something. My cat's in my ear. But what the hell was I just saying? Jeez. All right.
We'll take a break and come back to it.
Yeah. Sounds good.
How's that?
Sounds good. I think I'm somewhat remembering. But yeah, take a break.
All right.
Back.
Everybody, you're listening to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm Brian Stavely, along with Justin Cook. And we will be right back after this message. This message, I call it. After this song. We don't have messages. We don't play that shit. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm joined by Justin Cook. And you're listening to our Media Fakery special, which is also our first radio show of the year. Justin, feels pretty good to be back on, huh?
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. You know, I've done a couple, you know, appearances here and there as of you, I'm sure, in the past couple of years. But, you know, nothing beats being on your, you know, your own show and you know, having the total floor. And, you know, I don't know. I love the listeners that we have and the people that contribute in our groups. I think it's, you know, it's we got a good thing going. I mean, you know, we're a small, you know, fraternity kind of as it is, but. I think we're growing all the time. I mean, you know, how many people this year finally read your 9/11 thing or joined the groups?
Yeah.
And,
just this month, you know, I've got over 10,000 in the last 2 weeks, and it's 3 years old. It's still going strong.
Right. No, I mean, you know, so I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, more and more people are getting it, and it's cool. And I don't expect us to, you know, to be the cause of any type of, you know, anything crazy. But it's still nice to know that. Are the information that we've helped spread, even though a lot of it is other people's research, you know, the fact is that we're out here to shine a light on this and give people that are also, you know, in the same thing, give them a platform to, you know, to listen to, and we can bounce ideas off.